Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on this Tuesday, July 21st, 2020. I am Nate Bucati. Todd Lebo is with us again today for one more day. Well, you're going to be here for another day after this because I'll be out tomorrow and Stephen will be in tomorrow. Yes. Metaphorically speaking, he'll be in. He'll still be at home, but he'll be doing the show.
I'm here. Whenever I need to be here.
You're always here.
Except Friday, I'm gone. So
you're our logistics guy, too. Todd's making all the logistics happen in this place.
No, it's a lot of
logistics these days.
We got a lot of logistics going on.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap our head around that about 10 o'clock today, figure out tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll get it done, though.
We'll get it done. We'll figure it out.
Because it's worth getting it done. We got things going on.
We do.
We have things.
No mention of MLS from Jeff Passan there. NBA bubble, NHL bubble. MLS has the original bubble. Come on, give him a little love. Give him a little love, Passan.
Soccer
Come on, man.
Alert.
They're on your channel right
there.
1 minute
in.
Yeah, not even a minute in. you heard voices there from Adam Schefter. That's right. You heard voices of the voices of Adam Schefter.
LeBron James,
Jeff Passan, and Salvi.
Salvador Perez post-game of a game that happened between two major league teams at a major league stadium last night.
He had dong, too.
Yeah. Dongtown.
He went to Dongtown. So did Bubba Starling. How much of the game did you watch last night?
I'm going to be honest. I watched more of that Royals baseball game than probably any game I've watched in the last 3 years.
Right.
And the crazy part, I'll just give you a little look behind the bubble of how this is going to work for us this year. When we cover the team, they have their protocols out there. Now, you can certainly go out and watch the game as someone in the media. Well, we can have one person go watch the game from our station. And Darren Smith was out there last night. So Darren was out there watching the game. You can't go into the clubhouse or talk to anyone face-to-face. So the only real reason to go out to the game is to be out at the game and feel like you're watching a baseball game. There's nothing to be gained access-wise from being at the game. Now, certainly, I think it will be important to be at these games because, as we talked about yesterday with Todd Kinsey, when you're calling these games, you know, you're like a TV viewer at home. You just get to see what they show you. Now, if you'd like to, you know, you could see last night that there were a few guys sitting in the crown seats. If you're sitting at the game, you could say, oh, well, there's 10 guys down there. Look, there's so-and-so. And it's just interesting, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's the reason to be at the game. But in order to cover the game, you don't have to be there. And they treat these things like spring training games. So Mike Montgomery was out of the game. It's sixth inning. He was down in the Zoom room. So I went upstairs. I got
now,
on the Zoom.
Now, is that because it's an exhibition game?
Yes, it won't be like that regularly. Yeah. So then
Danny Duffy's not going to come out and do a Zoom while the game's going on.
I sent you guys, Mike Montgomery and Salvador Perez, before the game was over.
Yeah.
Because I got in the Zoom room, recorded it, edited it, and it was done. Now, Mike Matheny was afterwards. But it was kind of neat. And it'll be the same thing this afternoon. They'll just, you know, roll someone out. It'll be during the game. And then it'll get to be legit, you know, once the regular season starts. But it was an interesting way for me to watch. The part of the game I didn't see was when I went upstairs and got on my computer in my office and got into Zooms. It's crazy.
I was actually thinking when those emails came across from you last night, I was thinking, well, Todd's,
am I in a time warp? What's
Todd's
going on?
Just sitting at his house recording the press conferences.
It's crazy.
And then I thought to myself, how many times, because usually over the last few years, you put out a schedule at the beginning of the week. If there's a homestand, hey, who's going to go out to Kauffman Stadium and cover pregame? Who's going to go out to Kauffman Stadium and cover postgame? A lot of times, it's not the same person, right? You'll send me out. I'll go do the pregame stuff.
Someone
the clubhouse
the post,
opens at 3:30. I'll be there till 5:30, and then I'll come home. Somebody else go out there and maybe watch the game and do the post. So now, you don't have to shower up. You don't have to put on your little polo shirt and your khaki pants.
You could turn your camera off if you want. You don't get, I'm going to see nothing.
You don't, yeah, like you don't have to drive the half hour drive, whatever, wherever it is you live from there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this.
They're making it too easy.
They're making it too easy.
To cover a game.
Yeah. I mean, in life in general is becoming a lot more of, do I really have to go out today? Or can I just do all this from home?
So my favorite thing that happens, I love Jeff Flanagan, right? He's a long time, you know, beat writer. Top of the morning to you, Flanny. Writing for The Star and then now works for MLB, right? And for Royals.com. So he's at all the games, all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
So my normal deal during regular times is I was the Monday post-game guy. So I would go out there on Monday after the games. And I'll little insight, since I'm the logistics guy, the reason I chose Monday after the games is because there were fewer Mondays than any other day. Because they got a lot of off days on Monday.
That's when it's good to be the guy that makes the schedule.
Right. Thursday's close because they're afternoon games.
Those are the 2 days off in baseball, Mondays and Thursdays.
But Monday, I know this, I ain't working on Labor Day or Memorial Day, so there's two games. If they had a day, I ain't going out there. So,
okay.
All right, so that's, I was selfish.
Yeah.
So I would go out there on Mondays, and I would get out there, and I usually wouldn't go out to like the fifth inning of the game because I'd watch the beginning of it at home, have some dinner, whatever, then I'd drive out there. And so Flanny would always be mad on the days I was there because I would always ask a question or two.
Yeah.
And he's just at like loss number 87.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to go home at 10:45.
Yeah.
Doesn't need any more questions from Lebo, mm-hmm. right? So I got into I did not have my camera on the Mike Montgomery or Salvi Zooms, but then I turned my camera on for the Mike Matheny Zoom, and I could see Flanny and it just go, oh, with his. So we're waiting for Mike Matheny to get in the room, and we were talking to each other. I said, I got you every night now. I could do this on the road, too.
Yeah,
this
baby.
This is going to be the worst for you. I'm your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I could just dial in any game on the road and say
hello. So are you going to do this every night, or are you going to...
Well, I'm going to make a schedule.
I was going
to
say,
you're
going to assign some people.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, because the one thing is you got to remember.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remember, oh, shoot, Zoom's on. I got to
get
on there.
Yeah, they send out, and I got to, you know, they don't send the Zoom email out to everybody, because they don't want 700 people on the Zoom, so it's a tight circle. But I will get that assigned to where people have that responsibility for some of these games. Because, like for me last night, I knew I was getting up early and the game went quickly. But I wouldn't want to be on that Zoom at 10:45 or 11 if I had to come in here in the morning. You live that life without a Zoom.
Yeah.
Driving for a long time.
I did.
And if they're going to make this something to where it's not that bad, and we have the ability to do this now, so it'll be a different way for us to cover the game. I do like the fact that we're going to get to ask questions on road games. We've always been... You know, since we don't travel anymore, you just at the mercy of whatever Fox Sports Kansas City would put on. And sometimes it wouldn't be the entire thing. It would be, you could tell there was more questions, and they would, you know, they only had time for 2 minutes of it. And, you know, so we'll see how this goes. I've been thinking a lot. What do you guys, I began, you know, and you had a wonderful relationship with Ned Yost over the years. How do you think Ned Yost would enjoy all these Zooms?
Man,
I think Ned Yost is super happy to be retired.
Do they have to talk more now on the Zooms than they did before?
I think it's actually a little bit more. He's going to do, now this is, I think, Matheny coming from the part where I don't think he thought he did a very good job in St. Louis with talking to the media. I think he got himself in a little, he was following Tony La Russa and he just got himself in a little, in St. Louis, a different baseball town than Kansas City.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's better or worse, but that's all they care about, right? And they'll, I think he has admitted to us that he didn't do a great job with that. He's going to do like four of these before the game, you know, every day. Cause he's going to do a little something with the TV guys and he's going to do something with the, Ryan. And then he's going to do, the beat writers and he's going to do not in that order. And then he's going to do,
So he is still going to do something separate from the with the beat writers than he does with the rest with the broadcast media.
Correct. Now they may do that on the road at 10 o'clock in the morning at the hotel, you know, while everyone's there without going to the stadium. But it's going to be a lot. You know, Ned did a lot, and this is going to be even a little bit more of an obligation because of the fact that, you know, normally the TV folks would just like, you know, jump in, maybe get some stuff in the dugout. It's going to be a lot that he's going to do.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll get shorter as they go. Matheny is going to learn to have shorter answers. He's a long answer guy.
Yeah.
He will eventually get to be like, all right, here's 24 seconds instead of a minute and 30.
Well, luckily, he only has to do it for 60 games this year.
Yeah, that's true.
And not 162. But that's only one, I mean, only one. That's one more thing.
Every time,
doing
though.
The TV is one more thing. And that, so that's 60 more things.
Yeah.
You know, for pregame. And then it is, I mean, that is an interesting part of that job is they how many times those guys answer questions during the day.
Might ask the same question.
Yeah.
Four times.
That's why the whole doing the, Ned kept doing the thing separate with the writers, and then he would come out and talk to the broadcast media, which the writers would all come out and...
They mostly just listen. To
listen.
Make sure they
yeah.
didn't say something else.
Yeah, but, you know, the shoe wasn't on the other foot, and
no,
they wouldn't let the
just
TV out. Broadcasters in there to,
you
know, to listen
you
to
do it.
It.
But it's I think they still like that old beat writer type thing, because I think that's a way to talk without having things on the record sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if managers, though, will feel as comfortable doing that on Zoom, because everything's recorded then, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody's watching that at all times. So
it's different.
Yeah.
But I did watch the game, and I thought, I clicked around a little bit, too. I watched a little bit of the Yankees game last night, and I turned on the Padres for a little bit. And I think, you know, they're working with this sound, the cheering.
Yeah.
I like the organ is getting played.
I like right? the organ.
I like the announcing, you know, of the players, our buddy Mike McCartney. I know I saw him on Facebook last night. He got a chocolate chip cookie and a milkshake. So he had that treat out there while he was doing his work. But I think they don't have the mix right on the television. I think they need a little more crowd noise on the TV. I turned on, like, in New York, I heard nothing. It was like sparse. But
yeah.
then in San Diego, I thought they had to mix up a little bit louder. And then I saw a tweet from Rob Collins, our buddy over at Channel 4. He just was shooting video out there with his phone. And I heard the crowd a little bit better there. I think it sounded different there than what we saw on the television.
So are you guys team crowd noise or team no crowd noise?
I want crowd noise. It's just weird if there's nothing. I need
it
something.
Depends on what sport. Like baseball, I think I'm okay with no crowd noise. And
I just need a little
organ when the guy's coming to play.
Underneath. I need the ambience.
I don't.
I need a little something.
So I'm but like for soccer, I've watched both ways, and I'd much more appreciate the crowd noise during the soccer match. But during the baseball, I'm okay with silence. I guess, you know, just you're used to just watching baseball.
I think the weird one's going to be, I was telling Nate this yesterday. Like, if they get to college football and there's no fans or no band, you're so used to the band at college football.
I wouldn't even consider, I mean, they're not playing.
You're just writing that one off.
No chance.
No college football?
No, I don't think there's any
not
college
football. Not even in the SEC where
nothing.
It matters more?
I don't
they're
going to
play
any.
College football.
I don't think so.
It matters so much more.
I'm not saying it matters or
but
doesn't
my
matter.
Point
I'm
is,
saying that they're the liability with the numbers and the lawyer saying you're not going to do this.
But the general part is the fact that you miss the band there. That's the only place for that. In college basketball, a little band, you know?
Yeah,
playing.
For
you
sure.
You need the band. At college things, you need the band. And you don't need a band at the K, but they're playing the organ, and that's
yeah.
good.
I think the in-house music, I think I'll take that. But when you pipe in, there's not a whole lot of crowd noise going on in baseball anyways.
Yeah, you just need, I think they did.
A murmur.
I think I would turn it up 8% more on the TV mix.
The audio mix in a TV broadcast is maybe the most difficult thing to get right.
Oh, it's complicated.
It is. The adage that I've heard from the guys in the TV truck is that like the audio is 10% of the show and 90% of the problem. Because it's hard to find good audio guys. It's hard to find it's hard to get the mix right. And it happens. One of the MLS games I was watching, Fox does the crowd noise. And sometimes they have it so loud you can't hear the announcers.
Right.
And that is too much the other way. Like, I want to hear the announcers. I want to hear what they're saying.
Hey, and I'm willing to say that we all hear it differently.
Yeah.
I think
that's
you
what
know,
I was about to
our
say.
Ears
no right,
are,
when you're like getting it right, it's
yeah.
like there's no right or wrong. That's the problem. It's all taken under our own interpretation.
Yeah.
There's
in
no
our
there's
brains,
no right
I mean,
or wrong.
Physically, there could be something in your brain that's a little different than my brain that hears a different
well, trust
pitch.
Trust me, there's something different in my brain.
I'm talking about
yeah,
just the audio
right.
portion.
Oh.
But yes,
yep.
I mean, so, you know, someone may hear, like, the background noise may pop out more to them. And it, yeah, it's going to be difficult for them to kind of figure those things out. It's always difficult. But I did watch the game. And, hey, listen, it was fun to see a baseball game at Kauffman Stadium between two different teams.
It was, and we got to see a home run from Salvador Perez. We got to see a home run from Bubba Starling, who has apparently been almost as hot as Bobby Witt Jr. And we got to see Bobby Witt Jr. at the end of the game
as well.
They made
it out. What's all the fuss?
And, yeah, I know. Total disappointment now.
He's got some bust.
And we got to listen to Ryan Lefevre tell some stories about Cy Sneed. Who lives in Alaska during the wintertime, during the off season, and then drives all the way to Florida.
He looks like he would be on the show that I've been watching, that Alone show, where you just go out in the woods. Cy R. Sneed looks like he would fit right into that crew.
If you decide to live in Alaska during the wintertime,
hey man,
then yeah, you're that kind of guy.
Yes.
You're that kind of guy. And then he drives all the way down to Florida for spring training.
What's that, a day and a half?
Something like that per leg of the trip. It was good. It was good to see baseball last night. I bet you a lot of people, I'd be interested to see what the ratings were that. I'll bet you a lot of people watched that game, just like what you said, maybe with more interest. And sometimes baseball is the kind of thing where you have it on, but you're not really watching until something happens. But I bet you a lot of people had that game on last night.
Yeah.
A lot of people, because it's the middle of July and we haven't had a baseball game.
Royals games do well in Kansas City. Kansas City is a great TV market for all sports.
Yep.
Because we just watch this stuff.
And we haven't had stuff to watch. Haven't had stuff to watch, but we do now. We're going to have a busy show again today. Jamie Bloom will be in at 7 o'clock. We'll talk about that Royals baseball game and more. Pat Warren from the Kansas Speedway will join us at 8:30. Speaking sporting events, we actually have one in Kansas City taking place. Of course, the baseball game was in Kansas City last night as well.
You can't go watch this with this one either.
Yeah, can media go to that one?
There are a little bit, but it's going to be a different deal too. We'll talk to Pat about that. They're going to keep them up in the stands, and everything will be Zoom.
Yeah,
all the posts.
Yeah, and then Nick Leckie at 9:05. Plus, we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Mike Matheny, Salvador Perez, Peter Vermees, Tim Melia. We got a lot of sound to play for you as sports are ramping back up. So we're going to stick to sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs did a Zoom call with Chris Jones, Andy Reid, and Brett Veach. We carried it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But in case you missed a little bit, I want to play a little bit of that for you today. Andy Reid got lost in cyberspace for a minute.
Just for a second.
He said it was
exciting.
He said it was exciting. I wonder what it was like.
I don't know.
To be out there lost in cyberspace.
It was trippy, though, because, you know, I'm sitting there watching the Zoom, and we're playing it on the air, and he just goes, he freezes. And then I look at everyone else, and they're moving. I go, okay, that's Coach.
Yeah.
Everyone else is moving. Yeah. And then he came back. Ah, I got lost in cyberspace.
That was funny. He said, well, it was exciting.
It was exciting.
that was fun yesterday. A lot of stuff happened in the NFL through the course of the day yesterday. Probably be the case for the next couple of days. And it's all really about the return to play stuff in terms of COVID testing. They made a lot of progress in a short period of time yesterday on the protocols that they're going to have in place for these players. Here's Andy Reid saying that once they get everybody in, they still likely won't be on the practice field too quickly.
Yeah, we'll see on that, Adam. They're working through that right now. So normally what they're thinking right now is, and they're working through this, but it'll be about 8 days, which ends up being about 10 with days off, where they're lifting and once we get to that point, once we get through the first four here with the physicals and this COVID testing. So we get through that, and then there'll be about 8 days, which equals 10 with the days off of lifting and meetings and potential walkthroughs. So, and then we'll just take it from there. They'll have another part of a ramp up that'll last a little bit over a week, I think, where you might be able to put these padded shirts they have now. That's part of the new CBA. You kind of get into the new CBA rules, except it'd be extended a little bit. So that's what we know. At this point, it seems like a pretty solid plan to allow the guys to ramp up and get themselves where they need to be. I think these guys have been working out and working change of direction and restriction with the bands that they have and the giant rubber bands that they use to work some restriction and tugs and pulls and all that. So they'll keep themselves, you know, as much injury free as they can coming into camp. But again, we'll give them a good ramp up too.
It, you know, start doing the math on that. I mean, when you guys heard that, it's like 4 days and then 8, which is really 10. I mean, it's going to be a while before they're,
yeah.
You know, I don't know when they'll have an 11-on-11 practice, because he also described it the way they're going to have to divide the field up to do these things. And we've seen that out at Kauffman, dividing the field up to have 60 guys working. Sporting has multiple fields that they had to go out and work on, and it started with
one player in each grid.
One guy in the grid, and then it turned into more, and then they could finally do these things. This is going to be, and they're doing the safety stuff, okay? I mean, whether you like or don't like what's going on, this is what the players are negotiating as well. They want these safety things. This is what it's going to be. So it's going to be a little while before they have a practice. And then it doesn't look like they're going to have any preseason games, which is just fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think it's just fine with anyone. I mean, we like to watch them because it's something you get to see the players who they got drafted and you never seen play before. But, you know, the whole idea of I've always thought about those from a fan who pays for things side as much as anything. So if they're not having those things, that's fine. Hey, man, find a way to play regular season games.
Yeah, that's the most important part for everybody. Now, in terms of yesterday's negotiations, I was keenly aware of all the changes that were being made because I did NFL Live KC last night. And where we started yesterday morning with the players all tweeting out the hashtag we want to play stuff and how...
changed by 10 a.m.
I mean, it was changing every hour.
Changed every hour.
It went from there was only a couple teams whose protocols had been approved by the NFLPA and the Chiefs had been one of those, to by the afternoon up to 7 teams had been approved. And then all of a sudden, the owners had gone from wanting 2 preseason games down to 1 preseason game. Then it went from the owners and players association had agreed that you had to pass 2 tests before you could actually enter the facility and start working for the team. So, for example, when the rookies came, at the time the story was you would show up, take a test, go home, theoretically pass that test, come back the next day, take another test, go home, pass that test, and then you could go into the facility. You had to pass 2 consecutive tests. Well, then they decided by the end of the night that 72 hours needed to pass between tests. So now it's, I believe, you go, you show up for, you know, as a rookie, you report to camp, and really all you do when you report to camp is take a COVID test and go home and wait for 72 hours, then go back and take another COVID test, and then go home and wait for the results, then you can go to practice. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff kind of all of a sudden piling up and knocking things back a little bit. And it does make you kind of say, why didn't you guys decide this a week ago? You know, but that's how
a month ago.
That's how the world works. But even a week ago would have gotten them to the point where when you report to camp, you actually report to camp.
Well,
like,
no.
You do the testing ahead of time and then you report. Maybe that would have been against the CBA.
The other side of this is, if you're not playing any preseason games, what's the hurry?
True.
Right? I mean, if your first game is until September 10th and, you know, they have 4 preseason games and those things start, and then, you know, even after the last preseason game, the Chiefs would have a week, but everyone else would have 10 days because they usually try to have those things wrapped up before Memorial or Labor Day weekend. And, you know, that's just the way that thing has worked. So, listen, there's going to be some downtime here. It's going to be a lot of practice. If it still takes them 10, 12, 14 days for most teams from like right now to get on the practice field, there's going to be a month of practice.
Yeah.
You know.
And they need that month of practice if they're not going to have preseason games. Like, they're going to have to ramp up the physicality in practice at least a few times, right?
It's a catch-22 deal, too, because, like, you know, a lot of the stuff you've heard from J.C. Treader is there the injuries were up after the last lockout.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so, sure.
So they were up on the, you know, certain types of injuries, Achilles and things like this. So they've been saying that they need to have practice. But then the weird line is, well, we don't have games, but we want to have practice. And then if someone holds out of OTAs and minicamp and all that, they don't want to hear back the other way, well, won't the chance of injury go up if you don't come to these practices? You know what I mean? That's kind of like all those things. Because that lockout in 2011 wasn't like they were all at camp. That was just off-season stuff that they were locked out for. So it's a lot of this is just negotiations one side and the other. And I think the science on whether or not you're going to get hurt is probably cloudy at best on some of these things. I think you're just going to get hurt sometimes because you're going to get hurt. There's a lot of factors. and whether or not you went to an OTA in May.
Yeah. I think that those of us in Kansas City, though, just remember the weird Todd Haley camp where he didn't really play the guys in most of the preseason, and then they all went out and got hurt the first week. But that's just one team. That's a small sample size. We'll see. But, hey, the good news is it looks like they've at least come to terms on the safety protocol. They're still going to have to work out some of the financial stuff. But
Don't just poo-poo that.
No.
That's a big factor.
No, that's true.
Safety's one thing, but
yeah,
another part is
getting into people's pockets. Yeah. That's something else. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, one of the best moments of the conference call yesterday, this just deserves to be played on repeat because we love Patrick Mahomes so much, and we just get more reasons to love him all the time. And Chris Jones gave us another one when it came to his contract.
That is awesome.
This actually came as a question, and I thought it was one of the best questions of the Zoom call was, hey, Chris, before all this stuff, where you agreed to your contract, you were on Twitter basically indicating that you would sit out if you had to play under the franchise tag. Were you really willing to sit out? He didn't really answer that question, but he still gave us a really good answer to that question.
I kind of had a feeling the deal was going to get done. Actually, it was a crazy story. Actually, when Pat deal got done, as soon as this deal got done, Pat texted me and said, let's get this thing done. I left some on the table. Let's get this thing done. And that's when I had the security that, you know, that me and the Chiefs were going to work something out. I was confident in that to make sure that they were going to get something done.
It's amazing. If you couldn't understand, his Zoom connection wasn't great. He was somewhere with palm trees.
Yep.
I don't know if he was like just in Miami or somewhere. I don't know.
He chose the dial-in option.
Yes.
So that you can choose the computer audio or the dial-in option. He dialed in.
And I'm guessing his phone wasn't working in the building, so he had to go out on the patio. I don't know. But what he said was, after Pat's deal got done, Pat texted him and said, I left some money on the table. Let's get this done. That's amazing. And we all heard that after Patrick's contract got done. You heard it from Brett Veach that, you know, he wanted flexibility for the team and all those things. But Brett Veach has been telling Chris Jones and his people for 6 months, we're going to do this. Okay, it's going to happen. We're going to get this done. And the whole time, no one hears anything on the outside. All you see is a cryptic tweet about Le'Veon Bell, or here's something I read that's interesting about knowing your worth and all these kind of things. And the whole time, the MVP had just said, this will get Chris Jones done, right? We can get this done like this year. And they did it. The trust with this group of people is unbelievable.
Right. Because basically, Patrick Mahomes took a $10 million signing bonus.
Because he knows he's fine.
He's going to get that $500 million.
Yeah.
Like, he's
getting
that.
You know what Russell Wilson's signing bonus was 2 years ago?
It was like $63 million?
Yeah. Over $60 million. Over 60 signing bonus.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes took 10.
And Russell Wilson has been the model that people are looking at saying, you win a Super Bowl when
franchise
a guy's cheap.
Right.
But now Richard Sherman and Frank Clark and Browner and all these guys had to go because they couldn't.
They can't
those
keep
guys.
Clowny now, you know.
Because of that deal.
But it seems
and the Chiefs have looked at that and said, we won a Super Bowl with a guy who was on a rookie contract, but I think there's a different way to do it and make it work this other way. And you have to have a dance partner in that game.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is a dance partner. We've talked a lot about no one should take a hometown discount. Get all your money you can.
Mahomes is a unicorn, though.
He is.
There's no quarterback that's going to take less money.
I'm talking about. This whole thing's crazy.
Right. But it's because Mahomes is 24, right? And he's a different character. He just is different than anybody else that we've seen.
And he knows it.
Well, and
he knows that he can go out and do the Black Lives Matter thing and that the league will actually respond to him. He's the only one.
But that's not why he does it, though.
No, but
he doesn't do it because he doesn't sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to say this and it's going to be heard. He does it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but I think that part of the reason he knows it's the right thing to do is because his voice is going to carry a different amount of weight than other guys. You know, like he did that while he was negotiating this contract.
Yeah, that is crazy,
How many guys with the biggest contract of their life on the line would rock the boat?
A guy who's asking for less than his worth?
Well, and it's also a guy who has a trust in the ownership and the leadership of his team, right? That they're on the same page,
Yep.
right? All those things. And the difference between he and Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. What'd he make? $3 million or something by the time he'd won a Super Bowl?
Probably.
Listen, Patrick's still guaranteed to make $20-some million dollars in his first contract,
yeah,
which is not as much money as Mitchell Trubisky making right on his first, because it's where you get slotted. But Patrick has made so much more money than Chris Jones, and Chris Jones has played a year longer. Yeah.
But his rookie contract is probably five-time Russell Wilson's.
Oh yeah,
Patrick Mahomes,
at least.
So you know, this was Russell Wilson's moment to get paid,
to get the money,
to get yeah.
But they're not going to be able to sign their people.
It just goes to show you, though, like
and the trust with Chris Jones and Brett Veach too.
He might be changing quarterbacks' approaches. Like Russell Wilson, when he might renegotiate so he can have this kind of flexibility.
I'll tell you what, though, the way I see that thing playing out, watching it all, though. I mean, and the first thing when Chris Jones gets on the call yesterday, you know, Brett Veach, my dog, you know, and he was tweeting about that he's my dog and all that. But I think he's saying that with so much enthusiasm now because I don't know that he really fully believed Brett Veach
until it got
for
done
all that time when he said, hey, we're going to get this done. We're going to be able to work this out. Don't give up on this yet. You know, you can really get yourself to believe that's all lip service. You know, they've slapped me with the franchise tag. They said they were going to get this done, but we'll see. And, you know, you've got an agent who probably thinks Brett Veach is a great guy, but also has been around the block enough times to say, hey, look, there's only so much money for everybody. And there's teams that every team tells you they love you and they want to have you. They want to see if they can pay you less money.
This will probably play more dividends down the road with another player.
100%. I mean, and it's just that. But he told Chris Jones that this was going to happen, and then it did. And so when he did, Chris Jones was like, Brett Veach is my dog.
Yeah.
You know, he told me something, and he lived up to it. And it's all because of Pat, and not all. The Chiefs cap guys had to do all a really good job of working together. They had to build the trust with Patrick Mahomes. But for Patrick Mahomes to do that, now look, seems like a simple thing for a lot of us. If you could give me $500 million and tell me that would help somebody else too, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's amazing. But the way they worked it.
Not everybody does that. Most people chase every single nickel, and he didn't do that.
The Washington Redskins are a mess in a lot of ways, right?
Yes.
I'm not even talking about all the stuff they've had with, you know, sexual harassment, nicknames, you know, all that stuff. Think about how they handled their quarterback.
Just person. You're talking about personnel.
Yeah.
They're a mess personnel-wise.
They had Kirk Cousins, who they liked as their guy. They signed him to two franchise tags because they couldn't work out any sort of deal. Now, that's probably partially on Kirk Cousins. That's where Patrick Mahomes is different. But it's got to be something on the team as well to not have the relationship with a player to think, let's get this worked out so we can be better around you. They paid him franchise money twice, and then he just left.
Right. No, I mean,
he just left.
It clearly stung, the second franchise tag.
Yes.
I mean, it clearly stung because he was like, yeah, screw you.
I'm sure there was something. We'll get this worked out.
I just took $60 million from you guys, and I'm out.
I'm out.
And I'm going to go get paid somewhere else.
And he got all his money up front of the next job.
Yep.
And then, you know what?
Twice.
They're not going to the Super Bowl either.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I wouldn't be paying Kirk Cousins franchise quarterback money either, but.
You know how much more money Kirk Cousins has made than Patrick Mahomes so far?
I mean, the Vikings are in the discussion. I mean, they are.
They're a decent team. Yeah, they're legit. We'll take a break.
You wouldn't walk across the street for him anymore. You used to love him. Now you're done with
him. I still love him. I'm rooting for him. I always root for that guy. I think he's a damn fine quarterback.
He is.
Damn fine man. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Jamie Bluma coming up next. We're going to talk a lot of Royals as they actually had an exhibition game yesterday. And we didn't know at this time yesterday morning if that was going to happen. So
that's what yesterday was like.
Yeah. That's what.
You getting on the plane, Dusty?
Yeah. We'll find out. They play again this afternoon. But, hey, we were talking about this return to play for the NFL, and Todd mentioned this ramp-up session. It's going to take 10 days plus some other days, the testing, all that. It's going to be a while before these guys get into actual practice and team practice.
Of which these young guys have had none.
And yeah, no OTAs, no rookie camp, none
Zero.
Of that stuff. So Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, brother of Mitchell Schwartz, was speaking on ESPN about this. And this is a clip that you might like if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan in terms of how this camp will affect different teams in the NFL.
They realize, hey man, we have to show up. Let's make a stink about it on social media. Hope we get some love from the media members or some pressures put on the NFL to make sure that they give us the health and safety guidelines that, you know, that are in place. I think they were closer to making those happen than we think. Right, the Chiefs and Texans managed to have plans in place to get ready for their athletes today to show up. You know, Peter King visited the Vikings facility they're ready to go. So I think we were closer than we thought, but the players, I think, figured out, like, hey, man, we need a little bit of help getting what we want because we know we actually have to show up. And that's what prompted the media tweet yesterday. I don't really think that it was influenced. I don't think it influenced the NFL to decide what to do today. I think they were getting close to that already.
They did make a lot of progress, though, whether it was because of the tweets or not. They made a lot of progress. They got the COVID testing protocol agreed upon as a league, and now we go to practice. Now, this is the part where Jeff Schwartz talks more about what this is going to do to certain teams in terms of having a shortened camp and maybe not having the preseason games, which apparently the NFL is agreed to. Jeff Schwartz thinks this is going to be a tough thing for the younger teams in the NFL.
The Chiefs have 22 starters coming back from the Super Bowl team. They're going to be fine. The Ravens, they're going to be fine. The Saints will be fine. All these teams that know how to practice, that know how to be efficient, that know what they're doing, that have great communication between players and coaches will be great. Young coaches, young quarterbacks, good luck. It's going to be a disaster. I mean, are you telling me that in 14 real practices, Joe Burrow is going to be ready to play an NFL game week one against, I don't even know who they're playing. You know, seeing a zone blitz for the first time that he hasn't seen in practice yet because they haven't practiced everything yet. Like, it's going to be really, really tough for young players to make the team, first of all, and then when they actually have to play, to know what they're doing.
Bengals play the Chargers week one. And they've got a lot of turnover on their roster,
they
too,
do.
The Chargers.
They
so.
Got a different quarterback or maybe a young quarterback, depending
well,
on
hey,
how it goes.
Good for the Chiefs. They've got a coaching staff in place that knows how everything works. They've got a quarterback who knows the system. They got an entire roster basically of guys that understand how the thing's done.
Well, you know, their first round pick hasn't played and had any practice, but he was kind of a luxury pick anyways. I mean, it's not like they were in some desperate need for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he's going to be a really good player.
And but they don't need to lean on him. They won the Super Bowl with the running backs that are on this roster before him.
Yes. And, you know, the Chiefs do, when you look through their schedule, they're going to get the Texans, who are a team that has a lot of, you know, obviously quarterback back, right? Then they got the Chargers, then they got the Ravens. So they're playing some of the experienced teams early. So we'll see. I mean, I hope the schedule happens that way. I don't think the Chiefs will have much of an issue at all getting these things going on. What we heard Andy talk a little bit yesterday, well, I'm sure we'll play it later in the show, is they have done a lot of work out there getting ready for this stuff. And that's what Jeff Schwartz said, too. A lot of these teams, we didn't see it because no one's been out there to these facilities. They have been doing a lot of work to get themselves ready for these practices with the protocols and all that stuff. We just didn't see that stuff happening. The final piece of it was this kind of negotiation to kind of figure it out. It'll be different looking out there for all these players when they go in because it's not going to be what they saw last time they left the facilities.
Yeah, it is so wild to think about the fact that these rookies are basically going to the facility for the first time.
Hey, here I am.
And they've got a couple of weeks. They've got 14 real practices, and then let's go play some NFL football. But you know what? These guys coming out of college these days know the game of football pretty darn well.
Yeah.
They've played a lot of football.
All these guys playbooks.
they've played a lot of football in their lives. You're playing in the SEC. You've been playing games in front of 90,000 fans and practicing your butt off. So it's not like they're just walking in off the street. They'll be able to play a lot sooner, I think, even than people. Now, playing quarterback's a different story. We'll take a break. Back to wrap things up on the Hour of Television. Right after this. All right, that's going to do it for our hour on 38 The Spot. We got the wonderful and talented Jamie Bluma in studio now. We're going to talk some baseball. We'll hear from Mike Matheny as the Royals had an exhibition game yesterday. We'll hear from Salvi. Much more straight ahead. Keep listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll see you tomorrow morning on 38 The Spot.